بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the discussion of the 40 Nawawi hadiths, and we are in hadith number 2, and we have reached the definition of Iman by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in response to the questions raised by Jibreel alayhi salam. And then he said, and he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enumerating what is Iman and definition and its pillars, and he said to believe in his messengers. There where we reached, to believe in his messengers, meaning that you believe in the messengers of Allah azza wa jal, and that these messengers are from the humankind. And sometimes it is expressed as Rasul, a messenger, Rasul, and sometimes it is expressed as Nabi, a prophet. So is the meaning the same? The answer for that is, as to that which is in the Quran, each of the prophets mentioned in the Quran, then he is a Rasul, a messenger. So whenever you find in the Quran a prophet mentioned, then he is a Rasul, is a messenger. However, the meaning of prophet and messenger could differ, the meanings. And the correct opinion regarding this is that the definition of an Nabi, the prophet, is that the prophet is the one to whom a revelation was sent, and he was commanded to act by it. However, not commanded to convey it. So he is a prophet in the sense that he is informed, in the sense that he is informed. However, he is not commanded to convey. For example, Adam alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, the father of mankind, is a prophet. However, he is not a messenger, because the first of the messengers is Nuh alayhi salam. As regard to Adam, he is a prophet, as it is authentically related from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So if someone says why he wasn't sent as a messenger, the answer is that because people in that time were one nation, and they were few, and there wasn't any differences or disagreements amongst them. At that time, the world was not stretched out or stretched far, and people were not dispersed, so they were in agreement. Suffice therefore for them to see that their father on worship, and then they follow him. However, when dispute occurred and differences occurred and people were dispersed, then there was a need for the messengers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 213, Allah azza wa jal, كَانَ النَّاسُ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ النَّبِيِّينَ مبشرين ومنذرين. كان الناس أمة واحدة. Mankind were one nation, meaning on tawheed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets with glad tidings and as warners. So if someone says, what is the benefit of a prophet who came after آدم عليه السلام if he is not commanded to convey. We say that the benefit is to remind people with the Sharia which they may have forgotten. And in this case, people's turning away may not be perfect, complete, so that they don't need a messenger. And the Prophet in this sense would be suffice to remind them of the Sharia. قال الله عز وجل إنا أنزلنا التوراة فيها هدى ونور يحكم بها النبيون الذين أسلموا للذين هادوا. In chapter 5 verse 44, إنا أنزلنا التوراة فيها هدى ونور يحكم بها النبيون الذين أسلموا للذين هادوا. Verily we did send down the Torah to Musa. Therein was guidance and light by which the prophets who submitted themselves to Allah's will judged the Jews and the rabbis and the priests to judge the Jews by the Torah after those prophets, for to them was entrusted the protection of Allah's book. And they were witnesses thereto. Therefore fear not men, but fear me, O Jews, and sell not my verses for a miserable price. So this is the benefit from having a prophet. Introducing such a strong argument that you had heard, that you have heard, meaning what is the benefit of sending a prophet if he is not commanded to convey, this is a strong quotation and the answer that you have heard. And that's why it came in a hadith, however it is weak. عُلَمَاءُ أُمَّتِي كَأَنْبِيَاءِ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. The scholars of my ummah are like the prophets of the children of Israel. This is a weak hadith, however its meaning is correct. It is a weak in the sense that in as far as being in a weak narration. أول الرسل, the first of the messengers, is Nuh عليه السلام. And the last is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, the final and last prophet and messenger. And it is worth reminding that you will find in some of the books of history that Idris alayhi salam was before Nuh alayhi salam, and that there may be also others like Sheth. All of this is untrue, incorrect, for Idris certainly he came after Nuh. And some of the scholars have mentioned that Idris is from the messengers to the children of Israel, because he was mentioned in the context of the narrations referring to them. However, we certainly know that he is not before Noah. He wasn't sent before Noah. And the evidence for this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 163, إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Verily we have inspired you, O Muhammad, and we inspired Nuh and the prophets after him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also stated in Surah Al-Hadid and chapter verse 26, this will be chapter 57 verse 26. قال الله عز وجل ولقد أرسلنا نوحا وإبراهيم وجعلنا في ذريتهما النبوة والكتاب. This is 57:26, And indeed we sent Noah and Ibrahim, and placed in their offspring prophethood and the scripture. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them, and they were the top, the peak. And then in their offspring He placed prophethood and scriptures. So anyone who claims that Idris is or was sent before Noah, then he belies the Quran, and he must repent to Allah Azza wa Jal from such a belief. The messengers, may Allah salah and salam be upon them, are at the highest level of the messengers, alayhim salatu wa salam, are at the highest level or rank of mankind, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had bestowed favors upon. Qala Allahu Azza wa Jal in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 69, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. And these are now four kinds. And whoso obeys Allah and the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they will be in the company of those on whom Allah has bestowed His grace, of the prophets, the Siddiqeen, those followers of the prophets who were first and foremost to believe in them, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the martyrs and the righteous, and how excellent these companions are. So the prophets falls under the prophets, of course, the messengers, and they are better than the prophets. ثم الرسل, and the most excellent in merits are five, and they are أولو العزم, the ones who are firmly established in deen. They were mentioned in the Quran in two places, those five messengers were mentioned in the Quran in two places, in Surah Al-Ahzab and in Surah Al-Shura. In Surah Al-Ahzab 33 verse 7, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَمِنْكَ وَمِنْ نُوحٍ وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى وَعِيسَى. And remember when we took from the prophets their covenant, and from you, O Muhammad, and from Noah, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, Jesus, son of Maryam. We took from them a strong covenant. So there are five mentioned here: Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, Noah, Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa. Also, they are mentioned in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 13. قال الله تعالى شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين. نعم, شرع لكم من الدين, he Allah has ordained for you the same religion, Islam, which He ordained for Noah, and that which we have inspired in you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which we ordained for Ibrahim, Musa, and Isa, Jesus, saying you should establish religion and make no divisions. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far removed from any imperfection. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the first ones and the latter ones, that they establish the deen and that make no divisions in it. And the best of the prophets is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he, the prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, said, أنا سيد ولد آدم I shall be preeminent amongst the children of Adam. And when he met them, and when he met the prophets in his night journey, he led them in salah, he led them in the prayers. So Ibrahim, the Imam of the Hunafa, the Muslims on Tawheed, صَلَّى وَرَاءَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He prayed behind the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And it is known that no one is to be introduced to lead the prayers except the one who is al-afdal, who is better. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام is the best amongst the five messengers who are firmly established in deen. And the second in rank is Ibrahim al-Khalil alayhi salam, al-Khalil, who attained the ultimate love, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا, in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 125. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah did take Ibrahim as a khalila, intimate friend, reaching the ultimate love. And Ibrahim is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested with a trial no one can stand except those who are firmly established in deen. And the story of the trial of Ibrahim alayhi salam is that a child was born to him at an old age. And it is known that if an old man is, or if an old man will have a son, then in the heart of his father there will be the ultimate love which could occur between mankind. And when he reached an age, his son, whereby he could walk, so now he is not old, independent, neither he was a child to be neglected. However, he reached an age where he could walk. His heart clinged to him. His father's heart was so much attached to him. Perfect attachment. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him, in the sense that he saw in the dream that he is slaughtering his son. And you know that your dream of the prophets is an inspiration. So he told him, O son, I saw in the dream that I'm slaughtering you, sacrificing you, so let me know what you think. So he didn't give him a choice, however, rather he intended to test him. So the son's response was the ultimate in obedience and submission. So he said, O my father, do that which you are commanded. He didn't say, O my father, slaughter me. Rather, he said, do that which you are commanded, in order to make him aware that he is doing this in obedience to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So do that which you are commanded, and you will find me, insha'Allah, by the will of Allah, from the persevering. So he wasn't determined. Rather, he said, insha'Allah, if Allah wills. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf 18:23-24, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ 23, please. And never say of anything, I shall do such and such thing tomorrow, except with the saying, if Allah will. So the father and the son agreed to comply to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when they submitted, fully submitted to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he laid him prostrate, he laid his son prostrate on his forehead or on the side of his forehead for slaughtering. So he didn't lay him down on his back, lest he would see his face while the knife would be above his neck. In this way he would make it easier on himself and easier on his son. So when he laid him prostrate, then the ease came down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lifted up this trial. Qala Allah ta'ala in this respect, 37, 104, 105, وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّا إِبْرَاهِيمُ قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And we called out to him, O Ibrahim, قَدْ صَدَّقْتَ الرُّؤْيَا, you have fulfilled the dream. Verily, thus do we reward the muhsineen, the good doers. This love to this son, and this trial, and this compliance and submission, tells and shows that the love of Allah in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salam is more than the love to his son. And thus Ibrahim was Khalilullah Azza wa Jal, the intimate friend, attaining this ultimate love. Allah gave him this special love, which is called Al-Khulla. And this is the highest rank of love. And love, the kinds of love are 10, and it is said there are 7. However, the highest form of it is Al-Khulla, this ultimate love. Because such love penetrated the path of the soul and the veins, and the bones and the bone marrow and everything. So in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا 4:125, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as Khalila. Dalil, evidence that Ibrahim with respect to Allah Azza wa Jal is the highest, as to that which is beloved. And in this there is an affirmation of mahabba, of love. This is an affirmation of the mahabba of Allah Azza wa Jal, the love, an attribute of Allah, that Allah loves. And those distorters who say that Allah does not love, and they say that the saying of Allah, and Allah took Ibrahim as in this state of highest love, they said this means only, it really refers to the meaning that he is in need for Allah, meaning that Ibrahim is in need for Allah. And this is a distortion, because they don't want to affirm the attribute of mahabba, of love. So they said, and Allah did took Ibrahim as Khalila, to mean faqiran ilayh, meaning that he is in need of Allah. And this is a distortion, because every man, each person, according to such a statement, is a khalil to Allah, is most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because everyone is in need of Allah. However, we say that Al-Khalil truly is the one who reached the highest ultimate in terms of the love, most beloved state. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah took me as Khalil as he took Ibrahim as Khalil. And if I would have to take from my ummah a khalil, لَاتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا, then I would have taken Abu Bakr as my most beloved. And there is a general statement which is said by, or common word which is said by the people, they say Ibrahim is Khalilullah when reaching the ultimate of the beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad is Habibullah, that he is beloved to Allah, and that Musa is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. And there is no doubt that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is beloved to Allah. He loves Allah and he is beloved to Allah. However, there is a highest description, higher than this, and that is he is Khalilullah. So for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Khalilullah, reaching this ultimate which we talk about. And those who say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Habibullah, had indeed diminished the right of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because love is a lesser degree than al-khulla, is a lesser degree than al-khulla, which is the khulla is the ultimate love. So that's why we say that we don't know of mankind except two who had attained this khulla, Ibrahim and Muhammad, may Allah salah and salam be upon both of them. However, love is abundant, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. No. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. They can be beloved to Allah, but not this state that you are talking about. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the good doers, as in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:195. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفَّةً. 62:4. Truly Allah loves al-muhsineen, the good doers. Okay. Also, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفَّةً. 61:4. So this covers up the explanation of the messengership pertaining to the response of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as to the fact that the messengers, or believing in the messengers, is one of the pillars of iman, of faith. And therefore, inshallah, we can stop here and we'll continue tomorrow, inshallah, as to the belief in the last day. The belief in the last day.